Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army he shall lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. I have to tell you that, yes, it is Remembrance Day, and we remember fallen soldiers that have fought for our freedom. But you also have to know that we are also in, you and I are also in a war. And I always say that God's BB guns are so very effective against Satan's heavy artillery. He's no match for God. We're going to be looking at a passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 8. In Matthew chapter 8, soldiers are very special people. I was never a soldier in our armed forces, in our Air Force, or any such thing. I do know how to battle against unseen forces of darkness. I've had those that have been harassed by the enemy literally come toward me, and in a voice that was not their own, "I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you." And I simply spoke the name of Jesus, told them to sit down and to shut up in the name of Jesus. And I watched the wind of the Spirit of God set them back on their backs. There have been times, and I think I mentioned this story, we were in Owen Sound, my wife's hometown. We were not married. We were there for the first time visiting a church. We walked into a Canadian Tire store, and in out walks a gentleman that had a wide brim hat, one big eye and one little eye. And he comes out and he says, "Hi, Ron Ecker, Harold Chamberlain." He was the gentleman I was traveling with at the time. "Ron Ecker, Harold Chamberlain." And I freaked. I freaked right out. My name was never in the paper. My picture was never in the paper. And yet this guy knew who I was. I went all over that store, and I told Harold Chamberlain, the man I was working with, he's been in this assembly many years ago now, and I just told him like this. I don't usually talk about that. I don't usually talk like this in church, but I'm going to tell you exactly what I said. I said, "Harold, you can take this ministry and shove it. When you have a enemy that knows who you are, and you walk in a place that's not supposed to know who you are, and when they know who you are," I walked all over that place. And finally, he grabbed a hold of me. He grabbed a hold of my shoulders and says, "Ron, you must deal with the spirit of fear. You must deal with the spirit of fear, or you will not be able to conquer our enemy, Satan." Well, I got to tell you, that day, I knew I was in a spiritual fight. I did address fear, and I addressed him head on. And no, I didn't quit the ministry. In fact, it made me more firm in the ministry. I realized that we do not battle against flesh and blood. I realized that this man in the natural had no idea, no understanding of who I was. But I have since learned that the enemy, I'm talking about our enemy, Satan, knows exactly. When you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, he knows exactly who you are. And he does all kinds of things to disrupt, to disengage, and to bring you down, to divide you from other people, and to divide you from your faith. He is a spiritual force. I mentioned to you that soldiers are very special people. It takes great faith to be a soldier. And in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, it says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed in terrible pain. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. But the officer said, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word, and where you are, and from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers. I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. Then the Bible says, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who followed him, he said, I tell you the truth. I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from the east and the west, and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But many Israelites, those whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home. Because you have believed, it will also happen. And the young servant was healed that same hour. Today, our nation honors men and women who have served our country. Even today, our soldiers are coming home from war with scars and injuries, and some of them are having a very hard time. We had one in our previous church. We were playing the last post. And while playing the last post, this gentleman just fell apart. And nobody knew. Nobody knew the anguish he was in. He had done 5 tours in Iraq and Iran. And he had watched his own buddies blown up. Do you know that there are veterans from Iraq war that are homeless and suffering from mental trauma? That's why I believe it's imperative to take time to honor families who have stood by husbands and wives and sons and daughters and others who make a great sacrifice when their loved ones served our country. I wonder if we really know what it's like to sign your name to a paper that could possibly mean the end of your life. What is it like to walk down the cold hallways of a processing station? What is it like to sleep in a squeaky bunk bed, where men have laid down their lives never to come home again? I believe it takes faith of a soldier. Great faith. What is it like to step on a plane not knowing if you're going to come back? What is it like to hug your little girl or boy not knowing if you will ever hug them again? What is it like? They must have faith to do what they do. But the faith of this centurion, officer was something special. What was it that enabled this military officer to have such faith in Jesus? I believe, number one, he had humility. He did not allow his position to keep him from asking for help. Many people think that they are above needing help. Some people have more faith in themselves than they do in God. They try and control and fix every situation. But no matter what your status or rank is, we all need help. So we hear some say, well, all that's left is necessary is for us to pray. But let me tell you, faith asks help for everything. This man was not going to let anything keep him from Jesus. Here's a question for you. Will you come to Him with your problems, with your anxieties, with your cares? Do you have the humility, like the centurion officer, to ask for help? This man, number two, had care. He cared for his servant. In his position, he could have easily found somebody else to be his servant. But this man cared for this servant. Something incredible happens to our faith when we begin to care for and about other people. If you want great faith, then you need to care for others. When you are in war, you are not concerned about your personal affairs. Sometimes I think the church has had its hands up and its eyes closed while Satan has come in the back door and picked off our families, our friends, because sometimes we're just more focused on what we can get out of God. What is it that you cry for? Do you weep for other people? This centurion, he had belief. He believed in Jesus and he believed in the Word. He did not doubt the power of Jesus to speak and to heal. If you want great faith, you're going to need to believe His Word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word, which, by the way, is a good reason to come to church. And you're here to hear God's Word. If you want great faith, it's not just about hearing, but it's also about speaking. This man expressed his faith. Even Jesus was impressed. His servant was healed that same hour. You say, I want that kind of faith. We all should want that kind of faith. This kind of faith of a soldier. What does it take to have that kind of faith? It was standing there that day. And this man declares, you can speak your word. It'll look after my problem. Then the best thing, smartest thing we can do is come to Jesus. That centurion, he came to Jesus. Jesus is the source of faith. Faith is not something we conjure up. It comes from knowing Jesus and being close to Him. If you want great faith, you're going to have to be with a great Lord. And that relationship, by the way, is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you some time. It's going to cost you some energy. It's going to cost you some passion. It's going to cost you your life. In John 15, verse 13, Jesus says, greater love has no man than this, than a man lays down his life for his friends. Sometimes we think our struggles, in our struggles, we begin to feel sorry for ourselves. But maybe we need to remember the soldier driving down a littered road in Baghdad, not knowing whether the next bomb will go off. Have you ever tried laying your life down? The greatest thing we can do is not serve ourselves, but to serve others. If you want God's blessing in your life, start laying your life down for others. Jesus said there was a cost. We often mislead people sometimes by telling them just to pray, just pray a sinner's prayer. But we don't inform them that following Christ means salvation. Yes, it does mean salvation. But it also means sacrifice. But it is a good sacrifice. There is no greater feeling than to realize that your sacrifice made a difference. When we follow Christ and His will, yes, we feel fulfilled. It's not really that hard to tell if a person is fulfilled in Christ. You just have to look at them and they display a look of joy, even during the hardest of times. The commitment I made when I raised my hand to give my life to Christ many years ago was not a half-hearted one. Paul told the Ephesians that the battle was not flesh and blood. It was not for a country, but it was for a kingdom. Philippians says this to verse 25. Meanwhile, I thought I should send Ephrotius back to you. He's a true brother, Paul says, a faithful worker. And listen to this, a courageous soldier. Wow. He was your messenger to help me. You see, Christians are soldiers. There's something amusing a little bit. When a coach, I've been coach for many years, certified basketball coach and soccer coach, used to coach high school until we went into the prison system to help the inmates there. But there's something amusing when a coach tells a player, we are soldiers going into battle. We all know what that means. We all know what the coach means. But I also know that men and women make millions of dollars to dribble a basketball. They're not really soldiers. Yes, they make big sacrifices, but they do it to entertain. But we can honestly say that anyone who chooses to follow Christ is a soldier of the cross. Because to follow Christ means to lay down your life. And that takes great faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, it says, endure suffering along with me, and as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And as Christ's soldiers, do not let yourself become tied up in the affairs of this life, for then you can not satisfy the one who has enlisted you in the army. Great faith will mean some scars. You cannot lay down your life without some scars. You might not get a purple heart, but every soldier endures pain and struggle. We will not get through this life without some kind of hurt and pain. We will be attacked. We may even be persecuted. We might not be set on fire like the Roman Christians with torches, but we can light up our world with the faith of a soldier. Reports often tell us that injured soldiers want nothing more than to get back to their buddies. If you want the faith of a soldier, you will have to let those scars be healed and get back into battle. You may be facing some great battles even today, but take heart. Many have gone before you and have made it through faith. In the army, they have a system. They have battle buddies. No one is ever to be alone in battle. Never is ever to be alone in battle. And you and I, we need to realize that we need each other. I need your faith, and you need mine. We need to be able to join our faith with one another. You see, the faith of a soldier is a person of great faith. And great faith, you can do great things. Great faith will heal marriages. Great faith can save families. Great faith can change communities. Great faith can start revival. Great faith can save nations. We will never know how critical it is for us to have faith. We never really know what lies on the other side of our obedience to God. We may never know how critical our faith is to save our country. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, King James says it like this, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness or remission of sin. Remission. That verse is not so much about death as it is life. This verse tells us that without faith in Jesus, there's no way for scars of sin to be healed. Just as a wounded soldier receives life in a blood transfusion, it is by the blood of Jesus that a sinner receives life. What hope is there for the murderer? What hope is there for the rapist? What hope is there for the child molester? Can therapy forgive? Can prisons take away their sin? No! Can Muhammad or Buddha forgive them of their sin? No! Can our political system help? No! Only Jesus can. All the programs in this world can never take away the wounds of sin. Romans 3:28 says, "So we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law." He was wounded for our wounds. He took our scars in His hands. There was a great pride in being Roman in Paul's day, but there was also a great prejudice against the Romans. Whether in pride or prejudice, Jesus said many people will take a seat at the feast with Abraham and others. Some of the others will be cast out. But people like this centurion, people of great faith, according to our scripture in Matthew, even though he was a Roman, he will be with Jesus. It doesn't matter what color of skin you have. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter what church you go to. All that matters is that you have put your faith in Jesus and giving your whole life to Him. Having a Christian family is a wonderful blessing, but it won't guarantee eternal life. You must believe in and follow Christ yourself. Great faith means, "Here I am, Lord. You have all of me. I trust you more than I trust myself." Today, it's not about saying our country is perfect or even that our veterans are perfect people. But we do have a heritage of faith that is still being seen by our soldiers today. The most important faith is not in our country or in our military, but having a faith in our Father in heaven. When the Roman officer was standing at the cross facing Jesus, he remarked, "Truly, this is the Son of God." That's the kind of statement, a statement of faith that can bring great healing. To the Roman officer, the centurion that had come to Jesus, Jesus said it was done as he believed. Sometimes our expectations are low. Okay, I get it. Jesus did not heal. We have it in reference. Jesus did not heal everyone. In fact, in only one place did he heal everyone. But he always heals when he wants to make a point. And the point that he makes here in this scripture is faith matters. So let us have great faith in God for anything. The final outcome is up to Him. But faith is the key to the ignition of the miraculous power of God. Just like a soldier, stand up and raise your hand and give your faith to Jesus. Sign your life away. And I'll have to tell you, you're not going to regret it. There is power. We've sang about it. There is power in the name of Jesus. 1 Timothy 1 says, "Timothy, my son, hear my instruction for you based on a prophetic word spoken about you earlier. May they help you, listen to this, fight in the Lord's battle." Verse 19 says, "Cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear, for some people have deliberately violated their conscience." Fight well in the Lord's battle. Cling to your faith in Christ. And then in 2 Corinthians, and with this scripture I'll close, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're human. We are human. And the NLT says it like this: But we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and destroy false arguments. See, we fight forces that are not seen, so different from the soldiers they face hand-to-hand combat. In fact, the waging of war is so different today. It's so different today than it was during the First and Second World War. It's technology. What's interesting is the ways of God. God is the Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Today and forever, He's the very same. It's still a spiritual fight. But He has given us means in which to fight with. Will we surrender our lives to Him and allow ourselves to be used by Him? Thank you, like I said earlier, thank you for coming earlier today. We really do desire that we honor our veterans. And the service begins at 11 o'clock down at the Cenotaph in town. I would encourage you to be a part of that and remember our soldiers. But please remember this. You can have faith like the centurion that believes in the Word of God. You can take His Word. The Bible says God watches over His Word. That word watch, okay, in Hebrew means to guard, to garrison, to place a protection around it. God garrisons or guards His Word to protect it and make it good. Will you believe Him? Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. I thank You for every person that's bowed in Your presence right now. We thank You, Father, that in Your presence there is fullness of joy. And in Your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. We can't conceive of what those pleasures might be. But Lord, we do know that no matter what we face, we can trust You with all of our heart. And lean not to our own understanding. And in all of our ways, we can be directed by You, because You said You would direct our path. So we thank You for that. I ask, Father, that You would bless these people in their going out and in their coming in. I ask, Lord, that You would open their eyes and open their ears. They will hear about Your love for them. They will see Your love for them, and You will soften hearts so they will respond to Your love. And even more than that they will enter into battle, not with the arm of flesh, but with the sword of the Spirit, with the helmet of salvation, with the breastplate of truth, with their feet, the gospel of peace. Peace will be their stay. You will guard their hearts and their mind. The breastplate of righteousness and the girdle of truth, we thank You for that. Be with them today. Make them a blessing to those that they will see today. In the name of Jesus, we bless them now. Amen.